Welcome to another message from Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center, Kansas. For more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. It is our prayer to invest in generations to influence community. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Steve Raines.
Would you, Life Point, welcome with me Crystal Alexander, and make her feel at home this morning at Life Point Church. Crystal, would you come?
Oh, hi, I'm Crystal Alexander. Going as a missionary to France, never thought that would happen. You ever have that happen in your life? You know what I mean? You had no clue you're going to be doing this and that. And then, I mean, isn't that God all over the place? Abraham, hello. And you thought you were going one way, and God spoke to your heart, and all of a sudden, you stepped out in faith, and you trusted him, and you're going somewhere else. That's my message. When you think of Paris, when you think of France, what's the first thing that pops into your head? Cheers. What else? Sorry, I've been Scotland for a couple of years. I got weird words. Just deal with it. I'm so sorry. What else? I'm not looking for an answer. I want to hear what you know. When I say France, I say Paris. You say? Cheers. What else? All right, cheers. What else? Why, right? Croissants. Cheese and bread, baby. Cheese and bread. Bring it on. What else? Say it again. Oh, right? I heard that one and I heard that one. Right. Keep going. Just checking what's in your head. Napoleon. Cheers, right? Cool. Okay, so we have all these concepts of France and of its capital city, Paris. I mean, it's pink, it's ooh la la. If you want, you can go back to my table and turn the crank on the little music box and hear La Vie en Rose. Da, 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 da. I mean, you know, we think it. Yeah, Sabrina, the movie. You know, we have this concept. Paris is always a good idea, you know, of what Paris is. But I'm here to tell you today, there's a bit more. It's quite a bit more. And I think we have a sanitized version of it that's presented to us. But I think this is true about every culture and every person. We put up that myth about ourselves. But then there's really, truly. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. When I speak of France and Paris, do you realize that they are not too wild about missionaries? They've had multiple terrorist attacks. You've heard what's happened in the past few years while I was in Scotland. What happened to the priest in the front of his church? Remember that? What happened with the truck going down the road? Multiple bomb attacks. The enemy is out to destroy Europe. It was a place of powerhouse at one time for the Lord. They sent missionaries to everywhere, like hooligans like us, right? And now it is so much a vacuum left behind of what once was a strong, at least a Christendom, if not Christianity. Do you know what I mean? Did you know, according to joshuaproject.net, you can look that up, joshuaproject.net, and you can go ahead and put my first slide up, friend, that's totally cool. 1% of France is Christian, evangelical Christian, 1%. This is the website that Assemblies of God World Missions Europe uses as a reference point. Europe is 3% Christian, France is 1%. Like a third or so, or a fourth or a third of the country is atheist. There is a spiritual vacuum. Now think about all the immigration that's vastly covering over Europe and what religions they're bringing with them. That vacuum is going to get filled, my opinion on that topic. According to Project Rescue, which I will explain more in just a moment, did you know that there are 20,000, did I say that right? Cheers, yeah. 20,000 sexually trafficked people in France. Now that's a wretched number, right? But here is the kicker. 90% of them are foreigners to that country. They're not home. It's not their language. Adults, I'm expecting that you are able to connect the dots above the heads here. They were sold. They were snatched. They thought they were going to be a nanny or a housekeeper. Do you understand? And they went to the city of love, and look what happened. Sexual slavery. Guys, this is not like some stupid American movie where they thought she was just going to have this job and it was going to help her for a time to get through college. Whatever. It's not that. This is bondage. This is fear. And this is what's happening in Europe and France and Paris. Let me back up a bit and tell you how this all came to be. The past couple of years, I've been home for a year now, so before that, back up one picture, friend, with all the little photos. Cheers, thanks. The past couple of years, I was a missionary associate in Scotland. Anybody got some Scottish blood in you somewhere? Hooray for us. Cheers, I got some in me somewhere. Of course, I got Cherokee, too. I got everything. Bring on the Baskins 31 Robins flavor. Anyhow, I was in Scotland. I was working at a little tiny church on the tough side of Glasgow, the biggest city. If you the pictures, the top two middle pictures, the top one on the left, that's my apartment. Just an old, late Victorian building. There's tons of them. No elevator, 61 steps up, 61 steps down. I lost a lot of weight. Got it all back when I came back to Kansas. The bottom middle two pictures are my church. This little church, well, it was called Champion Life Church at the time. And it's just being a helper. Missionary associates are honestly just being helpers. Man, I did everything from scrub toilets to preach to sing to... Isn't that the body of Christ? Isn't that what we do? We're family. Need help with the toilets? I can help. Need help with singing? If I have... God gave me the ability. If I have that, then go ahead. If God didn't give you that, go, don't do that. Like, don't ask me to do your finances. That would not be wise of you. Do you know what I mean? So everybody has something that they can do. But we all can scrub toilets for Jesus, right? Right. Just saying. And so if you know VeggieTales, I laughed, I cried, it moved me, Bob. I mean, it was a good experience. In Glasgow, I did laugh and cry and everything, but my second winter there, it got to be kind of a tough time. The sun goes down early in winter there, it's crazy. I should have taken vitamin D and got a sun lamp, but I didn't. And I would take my dog, you can see her in the little picture on the bottom right-hand corner, or in the back of the car right now. And I would walk the city, and I would go into thrift stores. Woohoo! And as I went into this one thrift store, there was this book with a CD that was for learning French. And out of nowhere, God said, you're going to need that. You know that God does speak to his children, right? He speaks to people who hate him. He's going to speak to you. Don't block that. The Lord will never be what you're expecting. Obviously, my story. It'll never be... typically be what you're expecting. So God says, you're going to need that. I'm like, wow, okay. So I bought the book. Because see, I'd never, France, Europe, who thinks missionaries need to go to Europe? It doesn't register, right? So I buy the book. I go home. I tell my pastors there in Glasgow, I say, I think God's calling me to France. This and this happened. And somebody said, oh, probably French-speaking Africa. And I go, oh, well, okay. Again, I'm his daughter. He can send me anywhere, right? Children of God, right? Right? We say yes, don't we? Don't we? And so, okay, like, cheers, whatever. A couple years later, I have it written in my prayer journal, so I can document this. A couple weeks later, I went to a Light and Life event. It's like a Holy Spirit moving Christian event that they do in city center or in side rooms of pubs where they invite unsaved people to come on in, and they like, prophesy over them, pray for healing, draw beautiful paintings, massage their hands, whatever. It's getting in there. Do you know what I mean? Get out of your church, get into the building, stay church. But I mean, get out of the walls and get into the community. And so a friend was into this, and I'm like, cool, I want to go. I'm waiting for somebody to lay their hand on me and say, you're going to Africa. I'm ready. Not Africa. Why am I? Maybe God's calling me to Africa. You're going to France. That's what I was expecting. You're going to France. That does not happen at all. But they do pray over me, and they do prophesy, and they say, Crystal, God wants you to know you can hear his voice. I'm like, cheers, thanks. You know, that's very sarcastic of me, I know. But at that point, it was kind of a letdown. So I drive home that night after the event, and it was a lovely event. God did beautiful, sweet things. And if you see in my apartment there, across the street, there's a bus stop. And they had changed the sign literally while I was gone at that meeting. And when I got back, the new sign, I'm driving past to go park. And it says, France is in the air, Air France. And I'm like, I'm going to France. I'm like, okay. So I had this from in my heart from God's Holy Spirit. So I went to my godly leadership for missions. I had to go to a Europe missionary retreat. And I went to my area director, Tim Sutherland, for Northwest Europe. And I said, Tim, who's going to believe this anyway, right? Single, American, woman. Wants to go to France as a missionary, wink, wink. I mean, who's going to believe this, right? I go, Tim, God's calling me to France. And he goes, I'm not surprised. God's been sending me nothing but single young women to go to France. I'm like, no, that's not what I meant. And he goes, no, you don't understand. God's doing something. And he said, will you go as a career missionary this time? I'm like, wow, okay. God started opening wide doors, one door after the other. Later on, I was Skyping with him, and I'm like, I'm going to be leaving Scotland soon. I got to go back home and face people in America and say why I'm going to France. Do you have any idea where I'm going to go? And he goes, no, let's talk about it. So we talk. I had just met a woman who is a missionary. Hooray for single women missionary. We're God's weirdos. You know, we'll serve him anyway, whatever. And so she'd been in India for like a decade, in Africa before that, and she had been training people with Project Rescue for forever. And she had just, get a load of how God lines things up. He does this for you too. He had just moved her to Paris to train for all of Europe a couple months before. And now God is sending me to Paris. And so Tim says, that's it. We're going to send you to Paris, and you're going to learn to work with Project Rescue. Inside, I go, okay. Do you know what Project Rescue is? It's rescuing women and their children, and even young men who don't know what gender they are, from sexual trafficking, sexual slavery. And in fact, in their words, yeah, well done. Project Rescue exists to rescue and restore women, rescue and restore victims of sexual slavery by the power and love of Jesus Christ. It started in India with David and Beth Grant. They are the leaders, David and Beth Grant. And they've been there in India for forever. And then they've been in Bangladesh, Tajikistan, Nepal, Moldova. And then about the time that I went off to Scotland, God has started moving them into Europe as well. And now this single woman missionary, Joni Middleton, she has been moved to Paris, not that she started a site there, but she's training for all of Europe. Do you realize that the civilized nations of the world are the destination countries for these trafficked, sexually trafficked women? America, Australia, Europe, Canada. And they're being pulled from the poorer countries and sent over there. Hey, go to France. Go to Paris, the city of love. Have a great vacation, right? That's how the world thinks. And so that is what I'm going to be helping. I know nothing about this, guys. I don't know how to do this. I've never done it before. There is not an official Project Rescue site started there. But isn't that God? Let's step aside from my mission for a moment. Is the Holy Spirit messing with something in your heart and asking you to do something you've never done before? And there's nothing started where you're going to be helping to do this? This does not require moving geography here. Is there something the Holy Spirit has been prompting in your heart and asking you to do the impossible? Friends, I'll stand right there with you and I'll say, yeah. Don't block it, friends. And you know what? Okay, the Lord's pushing me on this one. When I was helping out at this church, I was helping out with the college group. It's been a long time ago. And there was this young cowboy. I got boots. This young cowboy, he goes, and he was like just turning 20. And he was so afraid of giving his heart. This is from the Lord for someone. So afraid of giving his heart to the Lord. Do you know why? He was afraid he was going to have to give up being a cowboy. There is nothing wrong with being a cowboy. But you are afraid of letting go of yourself and surrendering all to Jesus. And you know what? Jesus probably will change you. Nothing wrong with being a cowboy. Praise God for cowboys. But I'm saying God may ask you to be different, to go someplace different. Is your being this thing that's in your heart more important than surrendering to God? Where are you bowing down? Who are you serving? Are you willing to let go of yourself? Friends, when you surrender to Jesus, you will become a more clearer picture of you and all your unique beauty than you could ever be apart from Jesus. And God, I know of, what's his name? Paul something or another, starts with an S, and they're rodeo chaplains. Do you remember his name? Paul and Linda Schultz. Anybody know about them? And you know what? They are the most beautiful, godly, witness cowboy people in the world, fully surrendered to Jesus and doing what God has asked them to do. Surrender, folks. Surrender. So, before I left Scotland, and it's funny that you're talking about Nehemiah. That totally matches, because before I left Scotland, I needed to go do a Nehemiah scout. I just knew it. So I said, I called up Tim and I said, my area director, I said, I need to go look at Paris. I'm not going to say no, but I need to go do a Nehemiah scout. I need to go look at this, what I'm getting into. This is smart, right? So before I left Scotland, I went to Paris for 4 days and I stayed at Joni's apartment. And first of all, I need to let you know, I'm not ooh la la, I'm more Geronimo. So it's not like, oh, I've always wanted to go to Paris and it's pink and it's fluffy. I'm sorry, that's not me. I mean, I enjoy pink, but that's about the extent of it. And so I went there and I experienced it. So let me kind of share with you what I experienced. First of all, next slide is me and Joni up on the hill of Montmartre. Okay, got your imagination going? Here's the city of Paris. Did you know, including its suburbs, it's 11.8 million people? That is everybody in Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, and South Dakota. I'm just letting you know. Okay, here's the city. There's a river that runs through it. It's called Seine. So if you fall into the river, you are in. Anyway, up on the north end of town is the hill Montmartre. Actually translated, that means Mount of Martyrs. There was someone martyred for the Lord up there. Funky story, though. Anyway, we were up there, and that's the hill of Montmartre. We were up there. I'm a horrible photographer. I beg your pardon. And that's Joni behind me. And she took me to a French cafe restaurant thing. I had snails. Guys, they're great. You put enough garlic, butter, and parsley on slugs, I'm sure they'd be fine. So I had the French food. It was brilliant. I thought it was great. But see this picture on the right? And I've seen that in a painting somewhere. I've seen those steps. I took that picture. If I would have turned the camera just a couple of degrees to the right, you would have seen a brick wall. And up here on the hill of Montmartre, it's very artistic. Think Gene Kelly, American in Paris. I mean, can we paint your portrait for you? You know, it's for the tourists. But the graffiti, there's lots of graffiti in Paris, by the way. That was shocking. The graffiti on that wall going down those steps is so artistic and so perverted. I about lost my senses. It's like this. Oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus, oh, Jesus. You're just trying to scrub your brain. Paris hit me like this. It'd be like golden statues and then grrr, and then, oh, isn't that the pretty river? And then terror. I mean, it'd be back and forth. It wasn't like this section is pretty and this section is rough. It was all blended in, trash on the ground, and then, oh, it's a cafe, and it would flip back and forth. It was very shocking. We went to the Eiffel Tower. And when we were there, I'm just walking. I love to walk a city. That's brilliant. I enjoy that. So Joni and I are just walking. And we walked to the Eiffel Tower. I'm one of those gotta touch it people, so I had to go through security and get over there and touch the base of it. I felt like I had accomplished something, especially with the security there. And she proceeds to tell me, well, while we are at the Eiffel Tower, she has learned in those couple of months she'd been there, that is the high end of prostitution for the city, the more expensive. It's the male prostitution of the city. I'm like, mm-mm, what do I do with that info? Remember, I don't have any background in this. And then while we were there, near the Eiffel Tower, we saw there's lots of statues and there's lots of different ethnicities. I love it, man. Baskin-Robbins 31 flavors. Bring them all together. It makes it much more fun. But so it has all these different people from all over the world. It's very multicultural. But at the same time, you can tell a lot of them are just scrappers. And I mean that like in the Scrappy Dog Scooby-Doo. I mean, they're just surviving and they're selling trinkets and it's rough. So you have the beautiful mix of colors, but at the same time, there's this desperateness trying to sell these weird little trinkets. It's very confusing. So pretty scary, pretty scary, pretty scary. And that statue there on the right, she can read French. And she says, it's from World War I, and it's called Angels of Mercy. I'm like, ha, I know what an angel of mercy is. That's me asking Dad as a kid. We would ask Dad, please go get us a candy bar. And he would go get us a candy bar. So he was our angel of mercy. Or when I was working at the bank, I'd call him up. I need a diet cherry limeade. And he would go get my diet cherry limeade. You know, angel of mercy. But the angel of mercy that God is asking us to be is where we go in with the love of God in whatever condition we find these hurting, precious souls. And love them. Now, I learned something in Scotland. You can't just love people with your human love and think that you're going to be able to withstand that. Because our human need is so great. They'll just suck everything out of you and crush you. You must do this with the love of Christ. and by his power. And you need to be connected with the Lord daily and not letting that go thin, because you cannot have enough love in yourself to love like you need to love and endure what you need to endure to love them apart from Christ. And so we went to the River Seine. I rode on a boat on the River Seine. It was cool, man. I like water. If it was mountains or ocean, I'd pick ocean and water every time. And so it was great. It was cool. And while we were there, the picture on the right, I'm riding on the boat. There's the Notre Dame Cathedral. We went past the pointy thing in the background. And a blue police, I guess they spell it like we do, police, speedboat goes, wah, right by on the boat, past the boat, on the river. And the American, me, you know, wow, and I'm wearing bright colors, and all the Europeans are in black and gray and saying nothing, you know. And two of them go by, blue police speedboats, wow, what's going on? That night, when Joni, she likes the news, she was watching the news in French, she goes, oh, turns out there were gas bombs in a car by Notre Dame Cathedral. The enemy is out to destroy Europe. And we will not let that stand. God will not let that stand. And God is sending so many new people to be missionaries in Europe. God loves them. God loves them. So I found Paris to be a place of opposites. Man, it was macaroon cookies, which are phenomenal, but it's also the Moulin Rouge and Pigalle and the red light districts that are horrible. Flagrant in-your-face sexuality, immorality. And even some of the huge city parks with the woods in the city are used as brothels at night. It's horrible, but yet it's beautiful. But hey, isn't that humanity? Just saying. So, what am I going to be doing there? God knows. Hey, when he says to go, we just go and trust him. That's for you, friend. So, best as I can guess, I'm sure God will have me doing 17 other things I have no clue that are going to happen. That's how Scotland rolled. But first of all, I'm going to learn how to care for women and children and even young men who don't know what sexuality they are with the love of Christ. And I'm going to learn how to wisely build relationships, meet that need, and help rescue. It's not going to be me. It's going to be Christ in me. I got a lot of learning to do. That's very humbling. Secondly, and you can go to the next picture, friend. It's totally cool. Secondly, I need to learn the language and the culture. I learned so much about culture in Scotland. Oh, my cow. Okay, so when you're in Glasgow, Scotland, heads up, if you ever go to Glasgow, don't knock on people's doors. Just don't, because, you know, and then you wait. Finally, after a few weeks, someone said, Crystal, will you please stop knocking? Only the cops knock. You know how in British, and sometimes here, they have the little hole in the door, the little flap. You know what I'm talking about? Flick the flap and wait quietly. Oi, how was I supposed to know? You know, so culture is so huge. If anybody's ever lived in another country or visited another country, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because you can do something and mean it so kindly, and it comes out completely wrong. In France, oh my goodness, I got a whole nother ball of wax to deal with because I got to learn language. I can ask for a ham sandwich. I taught this to your kids. Je voudrais un sandwich du jambon. Hey, so I won't starve. I'll eat ham sandwiches and survive. But language is just the front doorstep. I got to learn their culture. I learned this online. Did you know in France they do not hug? They don't even have a word for hug in their language except between a man and a woman. Do you know what they do instead? Anybody want to guess? You got it. I've got to learn to adapt to their culture. Why? To be all smart and cute? No, because I don't want to come across as mauling them every time, you know, I want to show them the love of Christ. So I've got to learn their culture. I've got to learn their language. My first year there, we'll be going to a university in town and learning their language. But thirdly, to connect with the local church. Guys, local church. You are put together not just to show up and do your duty, but you are family, you are brothers, you are sisters, you are to be interknit. We talked about that in Sunday school. Knit into each other's lives. You matter. Each of you matters. There's not someone in here where you don't matter because you're on the edge. Baloney. You are woven and knit together. You need each other. Please don't think that you don't matter. The enemy wants to tell you that. That's not true. So I got to learn to work with the local church. I've already got my French/English Bible from Amazon, and I'm ready, you know? And then not only to work with them, but I have got to carry this new beginning of me learning how to care for sexually trafficked people to them. May God help me find the right church family so that they will get a heart for this. And then however many years down the road when God has me go, it won't matter because they will have the heart for it. And because I'm supposed to work myself out of a job. It's not supposed to be Americans are everything and you need to depend on us. Yeah. We are to just communicate Jesus and help support them in the creativity that God has given them and the resources that God has given them and the talents that God has given them. And that's about this church, too. There are talents and resources and creativity here, and you are all needed. Sorry, that one was free. Luke chapter 4. I'm going to start with verse 16. Go there. Get your app, whatever. Seriously. Luke chapter 4. I like open Bibles. Luke chapter 4. Jesus is going back to his hometown. You ever gone back to your hometown? Isn't that fun, right? We wiped your nose. We remember when you threw rocks at our window. You know, you survived that. Jesus goes back to his home. Of course, he did not throw rocks at people's windows. I'm sure he had a runny nose, though. Jesus went back to his hometown, starting from verse 16, and he goes to church. He goes to synagogue. Look what happens. Did I give you enough time? Luke 4? Okay. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. Good custom, everybody. Good job for showing up. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Now, did you have your imagination cap on for that? Did you see it? Sorry, my mom's from North Carolina. All right, so here's Jesus. He's in synagogue. He's at church. It was their culture that the men would take turns reading the scripture. So he's a part of that culture, and he steps up to read. Now, when Jesus reads the scripture, it's the author reading the book. So when he reads it, they're gobsmacked. In fact, if you notice in verse, 20? The eyes of everybody are fastened on him. Did you just hear that? Yeah, I just heard that. No one can read it like the author can. And then he says, "This is fulfilled in your hearing." Okay, what was fulfilled? This is why I'm being sent to France. This is about your life and your neighbor's life and each other's lives. First of all, we see that the Trinity is right there in verse 18. This is Jesus talking. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me." So this is from the full Godhead. If you have any doubts, this is a full message of God. First of all, what is it? Good news to the poor. Guys, we can pull people out of the gutter. We can give them a shower, a haircut, clean clothes, good job, and a car. But if you never tell them they are lost and needing Jesus and Jesus can fully save their souls, we are evil if we don't. It is the salvation of God that is most important. Come on, back to basics. Jesus saves us from hell, which we deserved apart from Christ. But in him, we are complete and a new creation. We need that salvation, and we need to realize we're poor, and we need it. Secondly, freedom for prisoners. Think what that means to that woman stuck in that room. Think about what that means for your neighbor. The enemy wants to keep us trapped, isolated, away from each other, so that he can pick our little brains and hearts to pieces and leave us hopeless. But Jesus came to bring freedom. Think about when the Israelites were pulled out of Egypt, when God did those miracles. He didn't bring them out to puppet master them and control them. That is what the enemy tells some of us. That, oh, if you give your heart to Jesus, you will be always so miserable and you'll be so controlled and it will be awful, like all the world says about God. And that is not truth. Jesus set them free for freedom's sake. And he is hoping that you will come to him out of love and free will and surrender everything to him. Freedom for prisoners. Thirdly, recovery of sight for the blind. I love how Jesus did healing blind people in the Bible. Brilliant. You're blind? Cheers. Cornea abrasion, right? Seriously. God uses the most you got leprosy? Go dip in the muddy water. He uses the most that was mud both times. I never thought about that. God may use mud in your life. God may use the most weird, low, painful things to bring you complete healing. Let him humble yourself to go dip in that muddy river, Jordan. Allow God to spit into and make mud and touch your eye. Don't let your pride separate you from all that he wants to do in and through you. Next one is set the oppressed free. Now you may say, Crystal, that's just the same as freedom for prisoners. I have a different take on that. I'm a Christian. I have asked Jesus into my heart. I am spirit-filled. I love Jesus. Hey, I sound like Paul right now. If you want me to be really silly, I'm a missionary. Like whatever. But anyway. But I'll tell you what. When I'm alone at home in my little house, there are times when the enemy gets my ear. Do you know what I mean? Oh, Crystal, you know that'll never, yeah. And it'll always be that way, yeah. And you've always, yeah. You've always done that. You will never, yeah. Yeah, it's probably so. It's always been that way. You know what I'm talking about because we all do it one way or another. And you've come into agreement with a lie of the devil, and that is a type of oppression. We need to stop coming into agreement with that. And that's so hard because especially when you get isolated alone, you don't have that positive voice helping you get out. So like David, I think that has to do with the story of Ziklag. You need to encourage yourself in the Lord. You need to turn on the praise and worship on YouTube or pull out your hymnal or something. And you need to start forcefully declaring how good God is and break agreement with that. And fifthly, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Guys, I know 2018 will have its difficulties. But the favor of the Lord, brothers and sisters, is upon you. No, it's not. No, disagree with that. Would you please let go? The favor of the Lord is on you. Ladies, I always kind of feel like it's a beautiful robe. Men, I guess you can have like a Superman cape and a utility belt. You guys figure it out. But I feel like it's a lovely robe of favor. It doesn't mean, you know, rainbows and pink bunnies. It means you have favor on you. And as you go through all of this year, it is another year of the Lord's favor. And, you know, civilians, when they get hurt, they're allowed to quiver on the ground and say, oh, it's so awful. But when soldiers get hurt, what's different? Do you know what I mean? And you cannot do that in your own strength. I try. That don't work. But with the power of God, you are staying connected to God every day. And his spirit is living in you. You get hit. I know. But you don't give up. One of my many times, I'm very dramatic, as you can tell. One of my many times I was going through a really rough patch. I was going to the grocery store. This is a long time ago. And does anybody know? I got to get all the lights so I can see your faces. Does anybody know about Kirk Franklin? Does that register for anybody? Okay, cheers. So those of you who will understand. It was an awful time in my life. I'm going to the grocery store. I park in the parking lot. I know that I can make it. Got the cassette going really loud. I know that I can stand. Do you know what I'm talking about? No matter what may come my way, my life is in your hand. You know what? You do what you got to do, baby, but you trust the Lord. Yes, you're allowed to cry, and yeah, you can even scream, but you don't give up. Totally recommend Kirk Franklin, just saying. I want to know Christ. I don't want to just know about him. I want to be in relationship with him. We want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Am I settling for less? I want resurrection power in my life. I'm willing to ask for it every day, even if I don't see it manifest that day. I'll still get up and ask for it. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. And yeah, there's suffering, but there is a fellowship to be found there. Don't give up. Becoming like him in his death, I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live. Becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Church, the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart. And I think he's asking some people today to do something that you've never done before. And you need to say yes. You can go to the next slide. I know it's hard. I know it's scary. That's like my life in a nutshell, hard and scary. But you need to say yes. Don't let the enemy get a hold of your ear. Those lies, you nail them to the cross and you break agreement with that and ask Jesus what he gives you instead. Come on, lift up your hope. He can do crazy, beautiful things through you, through the most simple acts of trust in him. Let me pray for you. God Almighty, you are speaking to these people's hearts today. You have messages that you are delivering very precisely. Holy Spirit, capture our attention. Get our hearts to a place where we are willing to agree and say yes with you, with life. And if the Holy Spirit is tugging something in your heart and you're thinking, no, I'm just like thinking about that randomly, you want to bet? I bet the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart. Surrender it to him. Let go of those people and those things and those habits and those old way of doing things. In Jesus' name, I ask for victory. And if that's you today, can everybody stand? Do you mind? If that's you today and the Holy Spirit is challenging you to do something, I don't need to know what it is, to do something that you've never done before, to step out of your comfort zone and what you've understood about life, if that's you today, hey, come down here with me. I'm actually inviting you to the front. And I want to pray over you and bless you as you, with courage, have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If that's you this morning, I'm inviting you right now, come down front. Come down front, and we want to just bless you and pray over you as you are being brave and being courageous this morning. Come on down. Yeah, come on down. There's more room. Come on down. If you are ready to cross that line and you are ready to be brave and kick Satan in the teeth, come on down. Thank you, Jesus. Don't let the enemy hold your earlobe anymore. Break agreement with those lies. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave, son. Be brave, daughter. Haven't I commanded you? Come on. More time. More time. Come on. Be brave. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You can do it. Come on. Good job. Come on. Oh, the Lord loves when you step out and be brave. Praise you, Lord. A little bit more time. Just a wee bit more time. Come on. Come on, love. Come on, love. Be brave. Surrender that thing. Don't let it hold you down no more. Yes, yes. I've called you. I've set you apart to me. Come out from among them. See, I have opened a door before you that no man can shut. Walk bravely through, my son. Walk bravely through, my daughter. Holy Spirit, we unite together. Flames of Holy Spirit upon us. We come together like a pile of sticks for a bonfire, and we unite our faith. We unite our faith. Saints, come down and pray for them. Come on, saints. Come on, seasoned saints who have walked the impossible. Come on, pray for them. They need you to add fuel to the fire down here at the bonfire. Come down to the bonfire. Pray for them. Lay your hands on them. We come together, Lord, uniting together in faith. Holy Spirit, set us on fire. Build that flame. Breathe your breath, Holy Spirit, upon us like oxygen on fire. Burn, Lord, burn. Burn the bridges to the past where we have kept going back and going back. Burn that, God. Lord, we come and surrender to you. We say, yes, God. We know we have no way of doing this on our own. There's no way we can do this on our own. And that is not the point. You can. And we lose ourselves completely in you. We are complete in you. We are knit and woven together in you. The Lord blesses you with favor. The Lord clothes you with favor right now in a special way. His anointing is dripping from the top of your head like the priest Aaron down to the bottom of your shoes. You are anointed for what is before you with the unique special anointing for this before you. He is setting your tongue on fire with the Spirit. He is burning in you in a way you've never felt before. And this is beyond feeling. This is the spirit realm. And we say, yes, Lord. We say, yes. And when it gets hard, we still say, yes. Open those doors before us. We walk through. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You are commissioned by the Lord to go forward with the power of the Holy Spirit. We ask you, Lord, for the signs and wonders you promised. We ask you, Lord, for the prophetic move in our mouths and our lives. We ask for what you've promised, not for magic powers, be that gone, but for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to reach out to souls who need it. We go in Jesus' name.
Everybody dance.
This concludes today's message. We hope you can join us next Sunday for services beginning at 10:30 at Life Point Church, located at 400 South Abilene in Valley Center. To get more information on Life Point Church, go to our website at lpcag.org. And we hope you can join us next Sunday with Pastor Steve Raines.